Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we kick it off with our pals from Talk Radio News, the former congressman from Ohio, one of my favorites, Bob Ney, in our virtual green room. Boy, there's a lot to talk about. So much for Easter break. A lot is churning and burning in D.C. But first, I got to ask you this. The big glam party is the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and everybody poo-poos it like they don't want to go. But then you look at the pictures afterwards, and everybody goes to it. Did you ever go to any?
I have been to about, I want to say conservatively, 15 to 16 of them. I threatened that they had to fire me if I had to go this year.
Oh, that's so funny. What was your favorite one? Did you have a favorite moment?
I think Colbert, when he did the one, because it was so outrageous, people actually got up and left. My favorite moment was watching Ellen Ratner stick her finger into the mayor of New York's chest yelling at him. That was a favorite.
I don't doubt that. That's great. Well, one of your former colleagues, Jeff Holtzman, who just left Talk Radio News, was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. For people listening in, you'll find this funny. There were a lot of athletes there. So Tony Romo was there with his wife, and Jessica Simpson, who he dated for a long time, was there. And I guess Jeff Holtzman said to Tony Romo, "Do you miss Jessica in front of his wife?"
In front of his wife. And the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar about smacked him in the head because he said, "Don't take a selfie," and he did.
Oh.
And that was a bang.
Yep, exactly. It's a good thing. Good thing he has another job on the other side. So
I remember when Warren Beatty walked into one of the after parties, and a big-time guy with one of the national newspapers looked over. He had had a few drinks and said, "Thank goodness the man's starting to look old."
That's great. Oh, to tape would be the thing. Tape some of the things that people say. That's funny. So today it was back to business, and Jay Carney answering a ton of questions about Benghazi. But the White House saying apparently they might not cooperate with the Benghazi probe. What's the deal on that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of statements right now, and really I think everybody needs to take a deep breath in the sense of the strategy of it, because if they don't cooperate and if they say, well, this is a farce, well, then it's going to have the perception, whether I'm not saying it's correct, that, you know, what's to hide? Why are they not cooperating? And they can say, well, this is because this is four or five times, but there's a vote on the select committee, there's a vote. On the Democratic side, there's a bit of a debate because Congressman Schiff on Sunday, Kate, said, well, we may not participate. And now there's an internal debate, I know from my colleagues on the Hill and sources, that, you know, they may not participate in it. But on the other side, there's a lot of the Democratic side saying, wait a minute, we can call it a farce, but we can't let the Republicans sit there by themselves and, you know, rip into everybody. We have to be there for political combat. So I think right now they really need to, nobody needs to say, well, we're not going to cooperate. They can call it a farce, whatever they want. But, you know, if there's nothing new, I mean, the Republicans are going to really bomb on this thing. It'll be tragic, but if they all refuse to cooperate, seriously, the public will start to say, wow, maybe there is something there. You know how politics runs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire, because so often there is. So naturally, you think that way. I agree with you. If I were pulling the Democratic strings and I had the ear of the White House, I would be very careful about the line that I walk there, especially if there's nothing. If you got nothing to hide, just let it all out. Who cares? I guess that's what I think. I just think if you don't have anything to hide, why not just say, this is ridiculous, and here you go.
And then after they're done and there's nothing new, then just absolutely take a political ball bat to them.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. How about this deal with the Supreme Court? A divided Supreme Court gave government officials a little bit more maneuvering room, I guess you could say, to mess around with this religious deal, whether they want to incorporate religion into civic life. They ruled that the Constitution lets a New York town board start most of the meetings with a prayer. They voted 5-4. Prayer in the classrooms and politically and everything else now is being challenged all over the place. So this was the latest challenge. I guess you're not surprised by this.
No, I'm not. And of course, it's going to still boil down to a debate, you know, what they're going to decide locally, who complains about it, or maybe they'll go to a minute of meditation. I don't know. But, there'll be some wrangling down the road over it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Absolutely. How about this one? The USA Today Pew poll, they say that the Republican midterm gains could be the largest in two decades. Do you think that's accurate?
I don't think it's going to be the largest in two decades, but I think the Senate is a 50-50 right now, and that doesn't mean that they're going to overwhelmingly win it, either side that holds that Senate.
Yeah. All right, so we'll just wait and see. Everybody likes to prognosticate on what's going to happen.
They love it. And then it's not going to be a runaway in the Senate either way.
All right, Bob Nay, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, among the many things that we talked about there with Bob, including the Supreme Court and the opening prayers at the council meetings, that they were constitutional, that makes sense to me. I still don't understand all these constant challenges to prayers and things that have constantly happened consistently at various functions for hundreds of years that now are, forget about it, we're going to challenge it, and it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court. So this was a huge win for that town of Greece, New York, because that's just outside of Rochester. That 5-4 decision says that the content of the prayers is not critical as long as they make good faith efforts at inclusion. So there you go. Inclusion. How about that? Instead of tossing everything out that traditionally has stood, this is an opportunity to say, yeah, this challenging this made no sense to me. We see the challenges to the Pledge of Allegiance, inaugural prayers, God and money, all kinds of things that I think are frankly ridiculous and waste the court's time and cost too much money lawyering on all sides of this. You have to go back to the 80s. In 1983, the court upheld an opening prayer in the Nebraska legislature and said that prayer was part of the nation's fabric, not a violation of the First Amendment. So Monday's ruling was pretty much consistent along those same lines. And just to throw this in, Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote for the majority saying the prayers were ceremonial and in keeping with the nation's traditions. So there you go. Traditions. Can we hold on to some of our traditions and not have to throw them all out the window? And to me, the money. The money you spend challenging it all the way up the system instead of just coming to an agreement and letting it be. To me, that's a big thing here. So the Federal Appeals Court in New York ruled that Greece violated the Constitution by opening every meeting over an 11-year span with prayers that were Christian prayers. And that's why this ended up going to the Supreme Court, because they decided, yeah, we're not going to take that. We're going to ride that in a different direction. And they did, all the way into Washington, D.C. and the robes there. Coming up on America Tonight, more odds and ends, some things that happened on the day that you might not have seen, some scary moments at LAX again, and I say scary moments because flights were halted. So when you show up to LAX, you just don't know what's going to happen. They had computer problems before. This time, it has to do with a very old spy plane. That's coming up around the bend here in America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
I'm a very bad man. And today I watched you leave for work. Then I kicked your door and took your stuff. Without a door devil reinforcing your door frame, it was like you invited me. Don't worry, I'll check back in a couple weeks. Once you've got new stuff.
Door devils are available at participating Ace Hardware stores and locksmiths. Or visit DoorDevil.com.
It dropped 20 feet down, shoes were flying, cell phones were flying, people were screaming, and it was very, very, very scary.
Not what you want to see happen on any kind of flight. The description there is pretty good. That was a Florida-bound plane returning to Philadelphia after severe turbulence, injuring six people. The turbulence happened, this incident happened on Sunday. It was a U.S. air flight. It lasted just a few seconds, but four passengers, two flight attendants, had injuries. The pilot turned the plane back to Philly and asked passengers whether any medical professionals were on board. There were a couple that jumped up to volunteer. They took people to hospitals and one of the passengers, you could have heard that woman there, said there was screaming and cell phones went flying. One of the passengers said that it felt like the seat dropped and his body smashed up against the seat belt. And somebody described it as being on the ride of doom where the floor drops out and you drop. Ooh, that's frightening, isn't it? There was a thing on the New Jersey boardwalk called the Hellhole. And it was where you were suspended against the wall, and it would spin round, and that's what happens. The floor dropped out. And I can't imagine feeling that on the plane. That would not be a good sign. I guess they were at about 17,000 feet when this happened, so the plane took off 8 p.m. on Sunday to take them to Orlando, but then it flipped around after that. The pilot deciding it was going to go there and turn it around. That severe turbulence is very, very scary. LAX once again grounding flights. And this time, the reason the flights were grounded had nothing to do with a computer glitch. that wouldn't pull planes in or pull planes out, but instead a U-2 spy plane, and, you know, very old, and a new computer system were part of what created this time the glitch that paralyzed the flights in Southern California. So the spy plane is being blamed for the shutdown. What happened was the plane fooled the computer system, and so it scared them. I shouldn't say scared, but it triggered them into that. The FAA computer system interpreted the flight path of that U-2 at a very high altitude as if it were flying in a much lower and more crowded airspace. So the computer anticipates the flight path. That's what it does. It looks for possible conflicts, like other aircraft or restricted airspace, and it was overtaxed by many of the flight changes the U-2 had plotted. So most of the computer's memory, it interrupted other of the flight processing functions, and what ended up happening is you had shutdowns and galore and dozens of delays and diverted and canceled flights, but it didn't result in any mishaps, so I guess that's really the good thing there. They didn't have any crashes. At one point in L.A., and maybe this was 20-some years ago, there were two planes that collided actually on the runway. It just shows you how intricate the system is and how much it is controlled by computers. And so isn't that interesting? That's what caused it. This one, by the way, was not today. So it was not another incident today. The PA thing was on Sunday. The computer thing was what happened last week in LA. So it is related. It was the computer thing there. And the FAA says it was like a problem with a software program causing a laptop computer to crash, if you want to think of it that way. But to me, that's pretty scary. So you say an old plane that is capable of flying differently and has a different computer system throws off the entire LAX system, and just like that, they're halted? A spy plane? That, how easy would it be to shut down our systems in different airports across the United States using different techniques, if that's what somebody wanted to do? Seems like it wouldn't be as difficult as one would think when you hear that story, right? Just another crazy mishap, like I said, at LAX, unfortunately. But they figured it out what it was, and that's the good thing there. And then there was a crazy thing of a plane hitting a house, since we're on aviation here for a second. And, you know, how many of us are standing out in our yard? Have you ever been out in your yard? You're sitting out there, you're standing out there, front or back, and you hear this, and it sounds like the plane is just on top of you. It sounds like the plane is gonna hit you, frankly. But it's just, you're close to a runway somewhere. Maybe they're flying a little bit low. In this case, the plane flew into a house in Colorado. It broke up all over the place. So you see this plane just smashed, kind of draped onto the side of the house. I mean, pretty sad to look at the pictures. Ripped up the roof, and immediately, of course, fire crews are there, and they're trying to do whatever they can to put the flames out. But anyone in the house not suspecting, same thing, where you're hearing something low, are you getting out of the way? Think of other neighborhoods where planes have crashed into the neighborhoods and hit maybe even a couple of houses. Recently, there was the Buffalo flight, the commuter flight that flew into they were flying into Buffalo, and they hit the small town and hit a bunch of different houses, and it was lucky that whole neighborhood just wasn't ambushed and ripped to shreds. In the case of this small plane in North Glen, Colorado, it was an unoccupied house, thank goodness, so it set the house on fire. It looked dramatic as all get out, but the pilot actually walked away with minor injuries. just an afternoon flight. The pilot got out of the cockpit, got into an ambulance for treatment. The plane and the house were burning. The fire was brought under control. And that was it. So he was coming in low, and he released the banner a couple of blocks away, trying to avoid houses, because that's he was pulling a banner, advertising on the back of it. And that was the best he could do. He was trying to make a flat landing. Amazing. Amazing that nobody was in the house, and amazing that he got out of the cockpit and just walked away. You know, they're like gliders. I talked about the time that I went flying and in a small plane, and so much of it is, a lot of it has to do with running out of gas. People don't realize that, how many people run out of gas. And if you have to land, how you're trying to look for a place, that's why you're always looking around you in the flight, no matter what you have instrument-wise, so that if you have to make a landing, you've got a space to make a landing. And he didn't really have a spot to make a landing, I guess. But it was divine intervention that in this crowded neighborhood, he hit the unoccupied house. Now, unoccupied house, was that house already sold or was being built by someone? Imagine making that phone call. Hey, you know that house that was almost completed at the end of the cul-de-sac? Well, that house really isn't there anymore. But don't worry, we have insurance, so we're going to have to start all the way from the beginning of that project. So if you can dream it up again, or we'll go back and look at those plans, we'll do the same thing, only it's going to take us a little bit longer. Hey, coming up this hour of America Tonight, we're going to talk about HUD and Obamacare, the push to get more people signed up for Obamacare that involved HUD dollars. This is all through Freedom of Information Act, peeling back some of this secret stuff. James Valvo joins us to talk about it from Cause of Action and what they found out and how far this goes, and actually the fact that they're jumping on it, investigating HUD's tie to Obamacare and spending HUD money to promote the health initiative, when he talks all about that and how they found it out and where they're pursuing it now at this point. Also coming up in our next segment on America Tonight, it's all about the numbers. Back by popular demand, we can count.
Harvest Right is the world's first in-home freeze dryer. Freeze dry your own fruits, vegetables, meats, and full meals. With Harvest Right, you can prepare foods that last 25 years, preserving its freshness, nutrition, color, and taste. All your food can be freeze dried. So don't throw away your leftovers. Freeze dry them with this incredible in-home money-saving freeze dryer. Go to HarvestRight.com to see how the Harvest Right freeze dryer works. That's HarvestRight.com.
Hey everyone, pharmacist Ben Fuchs here. Join me and the world-renowned Dr. Joel Wallach for a free health lecture this Friday, May 9th, 6:30 p.m. at Woodlands Auditorium in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. Come meet me at 3 p.m. during the Natural Health Expo before the evening lecture. Visit youwillfeelbetter.com or call Pete Greenway at 501-538-3160 for information and registration.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Another edition of Weekend Count starts with the problems in the Ukraine. Ukrainian forces in huge gun battles Monday against pro-Russian fighters in the eastern town of Slavansk. And the government sent an elite National Guard unit into the southern port city of Odessa. That's the latest round in an attempt to restore Kiev's control over an unstable area. They look like stormtroopers. I was actually watching some of the video. It was pretty scary. In Slavansk, witnesses heard lots of gunfire and lots of explosions. The government troops squared off against the Russians, or Russian insurgents. The rebels have large caliber weapons and mortars, and they're using them. So all of this continues. The clashes continue. And there was even a chopper that came down. It was picking up soldiers. The fighting was pretty intense, and it looked like it was an ambush and just crashed down. So this is fresh fighting one day after troops cut off the main road into Slavansk as part of what the government described as anti-terror operations meant to retake government buildings captured by insurgents in what's happened since the Russians annexed the Crimea in March. boy, so much sort of has gone under the wire there that every time more bubbles up, it is worse with the fighting, and it looks like there's no end in sight to this. We're just clicking off months again and again and again, and Putin's not going to back down. Even with the sanctions, it's not looking like anything's going to change there. Hate to give you more bleak news, but one person was wounded, one is in custody. This happened at Payne College. You kind of know where I'm going with this, right? As soon as I just even say that. The suspect in custody is a person that was picked up after someone was shot at a college in Georgia. That's Payne College. The shooting prompted this lockdown at not only just Payne, but a bunch of nearby campuses. It wasn't known immediately when they called for the lockdown. What, you know, they didn't know the specifics of what was going on, so they decided, okay, any of these schools, we're going to just have a lockdown on a bunch of different schools. The person who was shot at Payne, their condition, we don't know what that is, but the shooting came just a day after another on Payne's campus. But are they related or not related? None of that's come out yet at this point. Needless to say, if I was going to Payne College and there was a shooting one day, whatever it was, then there's a shooting another day, I wouldn't be too thrilled about that. But they were quick to use social media. This seems to work the best. They tweeted out, look, don't come to the campus if you're not there. They use Facebook, and that worked as far as keeping people away instead of getting more people involved in what was happening at the school and then shutting it down as fast as they could. You know, the colleges, a lot of the colleges, because, sadly, because of what's happened, they've gotten really good at sounding the alarms when there is something that's happened that they can't verify what it is to try to ward people off, and I think that's a very good thing. How about this? The Palestinian Authority announced that it'll send 3,000 cops to Gaza as part of a unity agreement with Hamas. But that could mean that you and I are now, indirectly in a way, helping a terror organization maintain law and order. The police deployment came as part of a deal between the secular government, mostly, of the West Bank and the Islamist regime of Hamas that rules in Gaza. The agreement ends hopes for the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, which has been pushed by the Secretary of State, John Kerry, but it also raises questions about the money, that the foreign aid to the Palestinian Authority moving forward. Because guess what? We subsidize the Palestinian Authority budget to the tune of, you ready for this? $400 million a year. So any effort to help Hamas, that is spending our U.S. dollars. And if we do that, that would be against the law, because that would be specifically prohibited by our own policies if it is part of a power-sharing agreement. I looked at the clause, and what it says is, no aid is permitted for a power-sharing government, Palestinian Authority government, that includes Hamas as a member, or that results from an agreement with Hamas, and over which Hamas exercises undue influence, unless the president certifies that the Palestinian Authority government, including all ministers, has accepted a couple of different principles. And of course, they won't accept them. Recognition of the Jewish state of Israel's right to exist. They're not going to do that. Acceptance of any previous Israeli-Palestinian agreement. So they, I mean, done deal. The conditions will not be met. So give us our money back. We want our money back because we're blowing money. I mean, we're not blowing this on peace. We're blowing this money is what we're doing. What a failure. I mean, what a failure this whole thing has been. And this latest round is a failure, too. We've been brokering peace in the Middle East for how long? For so long, and that the rules change and that the players change, but it's the same thing. Where's the reconciliation? Yeah. All right, so there's your numbers. Your numbers are the agreements that were signed in the past and the 3,000 police officers that have been sent there as part of the unity agreement that we are indirectly funneling to Hamas. I'm excited about that. The World Health Organization declares polio an international public health emergency. I thought we had the cure to polio, but guess what? For the first time ever, the WHO declared the spread of this disease as an emergency that could grow in the next few months and unravel 3 decades of effort to eradicate what is a crippling disease. They say the current polio outbreak across at least 10 countries in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East is what they're calling an extraordinary event that required a coordinated international response. They can't control the virus to spread beyond their borders in Pakistan, Syria, and Cameroon, and it has done that. So until it's eradicated, polio will continue to spread internationally and paralyze the kids that come in contact with it. That's frightening. So we stomp out polio, and now we've got the problem of polio. Not good. I mean, dozens of polio workers have been killed in the last 2 years in Pakistan. You know why? Because they get accused of spying for the U.S. government, and they killed them. That's why that happened. And those suspicions are partially from what happened with the Osama bin Laden hideout and what happened there. But when we have workers that go over there, they're just workers. They're not surviving it, or at least a bunch of them are not surviving it. At the end of last month, there were 68 confirmed polio cases worldwide, compared with just 24 at the same time last year. And in 2013, polio reappeared in Syria. And that was along the lines of a civil war that could have ignited even a bigger outbreak because refugees were fleeing to other countries. You know, it's that whole thing of not being incubated. And what's very scary is the travel now to the United States and from the United States to all kinds of countries. But are the people, what are you bringing back? So people who refuse to have any kind of vaccination, bringing things into the United States and spreading it, and then vice versa, others that do the same thing. We have an update on the acrobats from the Rhode Island Circus. 2 are in critical condition following the stunt that went terribly, terribly wrong when they fell to the ground on Sunday. They say there was a clamp that snapped that held them to the rafters, and it failed. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus has to be just furious about this. I mean, of course, because they're worried about their performers, too. 11 were injured, including the 2 performers I mentioned that were in critical condition. So not a good thing to happen, canceling of the shows. They were in the middle of a successful act. They were hanging by their hair, no net. They're all women. Investigators from the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration are looking into it along with the locals as to what was the responsibility on this thing. But 8 of the injured were members of the Circus Medeiros troupe, who are from the United States, Brazil, Bulgaria, and the Ukraine. The accident happened during an act where they hang like a human chandelier using their hair, and they have never had a problem with this before. But you heard what I said about the clamp. The women fell, 8 women fell 25 to 40 feet. 25 to 40 feet with no net, sadly. Coming up next, James Valvo talking about HUD and the tie to Obamacare. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Tonight, he's in the wings, James Babbo, counsel and senior policy advisor at Cause of Action. Always fun to chat with him about the latest. This is pretty big. HUD under investigation for Obamacare implementation. And we've talked about this before. And here we go again. The squeeze is on. And thank goodness they're paying attention and watching. So, James, first of all, thanks for coming back on the show. And what's the latest?
Sure thing. Glad to be on. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. So just a real quick background is that Cause of Action received some documents in a Freedom of Information Act request from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And in those documents, we found information that they were planning to do implementation around Obamacare, which is really outrageous. This is an agency that has nothing to do with healthcare, really isn't supposed to be involved in this sort of stuff. And they were responding to an email from the White House that said, hey, we need all hands on deck here. You know, everybody needs to help out. And HUD was getting ready to do that. And so when we uncovered that information, we thought it was important. Now, I want to stress, we found planning documents. And so we weren't really sure if this actually had taken place or if they had just been discussing it. So There's people in place to do those investigations. They're called inspectors general. And so we went and wrote a letter and explained what we found and explained what our theory was, that we looked like they were using money for something they weren't supposed to be using it for, to implement Obamacare. You know, Congress gave HUD money to do HUD's mission, not to do HHS's mission. And so we sent that letter to the IG, and we heard back from them just this week, which is really good news. You know, sometimes these things take a long time, and so we were encouraged to hear back from them, from a couple of special agents in their Atlanta office that said they were looking into it, and they just wanted to call and discuss it with us. And so it seems that they're taking it very seriously, and they're looking into it. So that's some good news.
Yeah, it is good news if they're looking into it. So were you surprised to find that out, or no? Because as these things go, some fall by the wayside and some don't.
Well, I wasn't surprised that they're going to look into it. What I was surprised with was the speed and the seriousness. The folks that I talked to down there seemed to be taking it very seriously. And like I said, we just sent this complaint a couple of weeks ago, so that it made its way through the often, you know, we know how bureaucracies can be. It can be, you know, 2 or 3 months before somebody opens your letter sometimes. That's how it feels. But to send something and then hear back from some folks have been assigned to it to look into it within a couple of weeks, and for them to be doing their follow-up, some really good news.
Well, and probably, I don't think that, again, with the Freedom of Information Act and opening this can of worms up, they don't want to have to go down this path with Obamacare. And it really makes you wonder, I mean, what, I just got to say this, what were they thinking? HUD using resources, if this is true, to benefit HHS makes really no sense, because it would be pretty easy to peel back the onion and find this out, don't you think?
I think that they didn't care, basically. They said, look, this is the president's number one signature achievement. This is the only thing that's going to matter from this guy's presidency. We're going to do absolutely everything we can to make sure this rollout goes well. Obviously, it didn't go well, and they're still struggling to recover from it. But let's remember a little bit of the history, a little bit of the backstory of that statute is they encountered resistance from the Supreme Court, from the state, from the private sector, from citizens across the country that they were not expecting. They did not think it was going to be this sustained, this long, this multi-leveled. And so they sort of panicked, and they looked around and said, who is it around here that can help us get this thing done? And they looked inside the other agencies and said, anybody who's got some time and some money, we need more, we need your help. And it looked like it was an all-hands-on-deck situation, and they thought, hey, as long as we get this thing up and running, it doesn't matter if we get caught later.
Yeah, so I guess the thing is, and saying we don't care if we get caught later, does anyone ever pay the price for this? In other words, somebody high up in HUD, somebody high up HHS-wise, or maybe I'm answering my own question, or somebody at the White House. I mean, obviously somebody had to pull the strings here ultimately, right?
Yeah, that's a tough problem on the appropriations law, the way that they use the money. What happens is they end up having to repay the things that they've done improperly. Often you find that the biggest repercussions are from an administration holding its own staff accountable. And so if this was the White House telling an agency to do this, so that's one, is it, you know, it's sort of hard if the president's not going to hold them accountable. But two is they might still be doing it, right? I mean, they are still in the process of rolling out this law. And so, you know, the first thing is we got to find out what happened. And the second one is if it's still ongoing, we got to stop it. And so, you know, that could certainly be done in the immediate term.
Is this one of the more egregious things, James, that you have come across? Because you guys are opening up a lot of cans. That's what you're doing. I mean, you obviously that's the goal, is to find out, you know, you're the watchdog guys, to find out what doesn't look right, to open things up. And this is now an example of that. But is this one of the more egregious things?
It is. You know, another one that I would mention was Secretary Sebelius going down to North Carolina. I believe it was North Carolina to campaign for the president on official time, on official trip. That's known as a hack check violation. That was very well covered when it happened. That was just unbelievably outrageous and egregious on its face. But this is certainly a good example of that sort of thing. I think what Judicial Watch found with the Benghazi emails is also a very outrageous thing that just came to light. And so the Freedom of Information Act is an excellent tool that you can use to, like you said, open the can. But once that can's open, you really got to try some different techniques to look around, talk to different folks, see who else you can get involved, use media, use inspectors general to figure out what else is going on. You got to put the pieces together.
Yeah, is it tough sometimes when you do that? Because in these cases with different organizations you're talking about, obviously people are going to clam up. Is it sometimes, you know, are you trying to piece the clues together to find those people?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, in addition to people that clam up, you know, we've seen the opposite is also true. And that you know, a lot of folks have been seeing this from the inside for a long time. Maybe sort of inside administration, their career folks, been there 20 years, and they're really upset and sometimes don't feel like they have people they can talk to. Now, the inspectors general are there for them to vent and you know, blow the whistle with inside their own agency, but they really like to know that somebody in the outside has heard about it. It's getting out. You know, maybe it's just sort of been something that's been festering inside them. Something didn't look right to them. And then when they see a story like what Cause of Action Uncovered, they say, yeah, you know, that's happening in my agency too. I should reach out and talk to them. So, you know, it sort of cuts both ways. Some folks, the real guilty folks, will clam up, but the people who have got a story to tell and have more information that can help you fill out your investigation and maybe open our eyes, you know, we might have thought we were looking in the right direction, but then an insider from inside an agency or from, you know, another nonprofit or you know, just a different direction that you weren't expecting. Once you get your story out in the press, the pieces start to come together, and as you start to talk about it with folks and mull it over, you can start to put the picture together.
Yeah. When you jumped in on this ship, did you realize how big this was going to be? Because Cause of Action is just growing and growing by leaps and bounds, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really fantastic. We're a young organization, just passed the two-year anniversary last year, summer. I've only been there about 6 months, but it's a really great organization. We're looking into some really important stuff, and I'm really blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah. When you go down the line and you get the Freedom of Information Act to open things up, and as you say, you look around and you're doing the things that we just talked about, do you have projects lined up in a row? I mean, in other words, how does that work for you?
Well, you really have to have a lot of irons in the fire at the same time, because you don't know when the agency is going to get back to you. We had an issue that was at the FBI for about 2 years before we finally got the stuff back from them. And some of them, you put in a complaint and the guys call you right away, like happened here at HUD. So you try and have multiple ideas going at the same time. And then when the documents come back under FOIA, you put everybody around a conference table, you lay them out and say, here's what we've got. Who can connect this to something else that they're working on? And more often, the stuff that you get raises more questions than it answers. And so you might say, oh, we've closed this issue down, but it raises five new ones over on this side. And that's more of the art as opposed to the science of doing the FOIA work.
Yeah, so everybody grabs a piece of what they understand, right? It's funny, that's almost like laying out a magazine where you put everything out on the table. One person picks their specialty, other person picks theirs journalistically, and you guys are doing the same thing on the other side, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And sometimes something won't ring a bell right away, and so you won't look at it, you won't spend a lot of time with it. And then 6 months later, somebody says, hey, didn't we receive a document that that's part of this? And you said, oh, I had no idea that was part of that story. And you start to bring them back together.
Yeah. All right, if somebody wants to go to the website and check out what else you're working on and some of the things that they might be interested in, where do you send them?
You can learn more about us at causeofaction.org.
Causeofaction.org. All right, James Valbo, thanks so much, as always, for stopping by. We'll keep an eye on what happens here with HUD and Obamacare and where that leads us. Is it the hope that, you know, if they really find something, that a full-blown investigation gets even bigger and it ends up being something that a committee takes up in Congress?
Yeah, that would be the next step, would be if we got something back from an IG that was a full report, or if they finish a full investigatory, they do a full investigation and find out what happens, then, you know, sending that up to Congress would be the next step. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about this, and we'll definitely keep you guys in the loop as we move forward.
All right, James, thanks. You have a great one.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.